Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, a couple weeks ago for our Easter service, talked about starting over. You can start over. And then last week, Gaylord shared with us about believing and about God forming us like clay. But about believing in Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And today I really want to talk about some of the times that we find it difficult to believe. Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances where we begin to question our faith. And so the title of my sermon is Finding Grace in Difficult Times. And there's several stories that we're going to look at throughout Scripture of times when people went through some hard times. And the reality is, Christ said, in this world you will have tribulation. But we can be of good cheer because Christ has overcome the world. And we can overcome the world through Him. First one I want to look at this morning is discouragement. Discouragement can sneak up on anybody. But sometimes we have periods in our lives that are marked by discouragement. And I want to read in Psalms 105, story of Joseph. Psalms 105, verses 16 through 22, it says, "Moreover, he called for a famine," speaking of the Lord, "he called for a famine in the land, and he destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass, and the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The rulers of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure, and to teach his elders wisdom." We have this story of Joseph. And we all remember how Joseph, God used him wonderfully in the land of Egypt to provide for the people during a horrible 7-year famine. And during that time, Joseph was able to, for the king of Egypt, to provide for his family and to provide for all of the country of Egypt, as well as other countries as well, and brought great wealth to the king of Egypt. But that was kind of the highlight of Joseph's life. And there was a lot of lowlights. There was a lot of extremes in Joseph's life. He started out the youngest. He had several brothers. And he was his father's favorite. His dad loved him more than anybody else. And he knew it. He had this wonderful coat that he wore that showed everyone how much his father loved him. I'm sure he was aware that his brothers were very jealous of him. But that all came to a very stark reality one day when he went out to meet his brothers and they threw him in a pit. And they were going to kill him. But then one brother said, "No, let's not kill him. The one brother was going to set him free from the pit, but a couple of the other brothers saw some slave traders going by, and they said, "Let's just sell him into slavery." And so here's Joseph. One day he goes to bed, just his father's greatest joy. And the next day he's on his way to Egypt, a slave. You want to talk about a bad day? That's got to be ranking right up there as one of the all-time bad days. But it didn't stop there. Joseph was sold as a slave into the house of Potiphar. And Joseph had faith in God, and he served God. And as a result of that, God blessed him. And so Joseph rose up, even in Potiphar's house, till the point where Potiphar trusted him even more than would be his own son. But Joseph rose and he ruled over Potiphar's house. He made all the decisions over Potiphar's house. Potiphar trusted with everything. And again, God blessed him. He was Potiphar's favorite. But then, again, we see another extreme. Potiphar's wife accuses him of being inappropriate, and he is sent to prison, to the king's prison, and he stays there for years. So many times in our life we question God. God, why are you doing this? Why is this? Why are you allowing this in my life? We might not blame God directly, but we blame Him indirectly. Why are you letting this happen? And Joseph had to have asked those questions. As he's sitting there in prison, in Egypt, away from his family, wondering, will I ever see them again? What is the purpose of all this? Maybe it would have been better for me to just die in that pit. But then we, of course, know the end of the story. Through the interpretation of dreams, Joseph is set free from prison, and he becomes the king's favorite. And he rises up, and he is the second-hand man to the king of Egypt. And through all of that, God uses Joseph to provide and to collect during the good times food for when the famine would come. And he was able to provide for his brothers, his family, his father. He got to provide for his father, to see him again, to see his brothers and his younger brother who he had never met. And to think about this, at the end of all of this, all of these extremes in his life, Joseph concludes, he says, to his brothers after they've been reunited. He said, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring it about as to this day, to save many people alive. You see, when we place our trust in Christ, you don't just place your trust, you don't just put your faith in Him for your salvation or your eternal life after you die, but you put your trust in Him for your life, for your everyday life. Only then can you be confident that all of the trials that we face, God will use for His good, for our good. Romans 8:28 through 30, Paul says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. From whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified." You see, God is beginning and has begun a good work in you. And sometimes that good work leads us into trials and tribulations. As Job said of the trials that he had faced in his life, that he was going through the refiner's fire. And when he came forth, he would be pure as gold. This is God's grace. This is finding God's grace in difficult times. It's realizing that everything that's happening in my life, God is allowing it for my good. During the late 1800s, English evangelist Henry Morehouse made several trips to America to preach. One of these occasions, he was taking a walk through a poor section of the city when he noticed a small boy coming out of a store with a pitcher of milk. Just then, the boy slipped and fell and broke the pitcher and spilt the milk all over the sidewalk. Morehouse rushed to the youngster and found that he was unhurt but terrified. "My mama's going to whip me," he cried. The preacher suggested that they try to put the pitcher back together. but the pieces of glass would not stay together. The boy kept crying. And finally, Morehouse picked up the youngster and carried him to a nearby store, where the preacher purchased a new pitcher. And then he returned to the dairy store, and the pitcher was washed and filled with milk. With that done, he carried the boy and the pitcher home. Putting the youngster down on his front porch, Morehouse handed him the pitcher and asked, "Now will your mama whip you?" A wide smile spread across his tear-stained face. "Ah, no, sir, because it's a lot better pitcher than the one we had before." That's what God wants to do in your life. Through the hard times, sometimes even the really hard times that break us, God is molding us into a new person. He's molding us into the person that He wants us to be. And sometimes, Gaylord talked about the potter and molding us into the person He wants to be. Sometimes you got to break the mold so we can make a new one. Sometimes God has to break us so that we will turn to Him. Some of us have been through times of discouragement. We've all been through times of discouragement. But also we have times of disgrace. Times where we recognize that we have done wrong in the eyes of the Lord. There's a man named Moses. Of course, we're all familiar with him. He wrote a lot, 5 books of the Old Testament. A key feature of Israel. A great leader in Israel. In Hebrews 11, he's in the Faith Hall of Fame. Hebrews 11, 23 through 29 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned." And so the story goes. But when God found Moses, he wasn't a great leader. In Exodus, we know that the story of his birth. But shortly, there's not a whole lot about his formative years. There's not a whole lot about his years before he became the leader of Israel. But we know a few things. We know that, one, he floated in a basket, right? And he was raised by a princess. But we also know that he killed somebody. He sympathized with the Israelite people, his people. And when one of the Egyptian men were being harsh with an Israelite person, he looked around, saw no one was looking, and he killed the man, the Egyptian man, buried him in the sand. And then he fled. He found out that some of the other Israelites know and figured the king must know, and indeed the king did find out and wanted to kill Moses. And so Moses ran away to a strange land. And he spent years, married a woman there, in hiding, shamed. Basically found some guy, he didn't have any sons, and so he helped his daughters with the sheep, and then he became the shepherd of the sheep of the family, or the livestock. And here he is, out tending the animals, shamed, alone. God comes to him and says, I want to go and set my people Israel free. I want to take them to the promised land. I want to get them out of Egypt and take them to the land that I have promised them. And I want you to lead them. And Moses says, all right, let's do it. No. Moses says, who in the world do you think I am? I can't do that. God says, well, don't worry, I'll be with you. I'll go with you. I'll help you. And Moses is like, well, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe me that I'm talking to you right now? What if they don't believe me that you sent me here? So God says, okay, well, tell you what, I'll give you two miracles. And so God performs two miracles in front of Moses right then and there. He tells him to put his staff down. And he puts it down and it turns into a snake. And Moses jumps back scared. And God says, pick up the end of the snake. So he kind of barely touches the end of the snake. And immediately it turns back into the staff. And then God says, put your hand in your coat. And he put his hand in his coat and he came out and it had leprosy. And he said, put your hand back in your coat again. And he put it back in there, and it came out and it was healed. And he said, I want you to go and perform these miracles to the children of Israel. And if they still don't believe that I sent you, I will perform another miracle in their midst. And so Moses, he says to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to me, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And so the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Boy, isn't that a prayer that we often pray? Oh, Lord, just send somebody else. I can't do that. I'm not qualified. Oh, boy. Is there anybody else that can do this job around here besides me? When we look at ourselves, we see failure. When we look at ourselves, we see mistakes. When we look at ourselves, we see nothing to inspire confidence. But when God looks at us, He sees His own creation. He sees a loving relationship. And for those who have accepted the gift of salvation, He sees His own Son, and the blood that was shed for you and for me. And where we see failure, He sees potential. And He wants to inspire confidence in us and say, forget about the past mistakes. Forget about the things that you've done that are wrong. In your times of despair, in your times of realizing that I am nothing. In our times of disgrace, when I don't deserve God's grace or anybody's, we must realize that we are the child of God. God has created us. And He wants to do a wonderful work in us. He wants to do a miracle in us if we're willing to let Him. There's an advertisement on the side of a plumber's van. It says, there is no place too deep, too dark, or too dirty for us to handle. And God's grace is much the same way. There's nothing that you've gotten yourself into that God cannot forgive you and come in and do a work in your life and just save you. Sometimes we go through times of discouragement, and sometimes we go through times of disgrace. And other times, we struggle in our faith at times of loss. The loss of a loved one. The loss of a friend. Maybe the loss of finances. Different kinds of loss. There's a lady in the Bible who went through some great loss. And she gives us some insight. Martha, her brother Lazarus had died. And she had sent for Jesus to come before he died to heal him. Martha had seen Jesus heal so many people. But Jesus didn't come and heal Lazarus. Lazarus died. And then finally Jesus came a few days later. We find the story in John chapter 11. It says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. You know, that is the single greatest question in times of trials and struggles and loss. It is the ultimate key to finding God's grace in difficult times. Do you believe? Do you believe? Jesus said to Thomas in John 20:27, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Whatever keeps you from believing will keep you from finding God's grace. You see, when we trust God, it opens up a whole new realm, a realm of hope. When we lose a loved one, we don't mourn like those who have no hope. We have faith that like Christ was raised from the dead, we too will be raised. During the 30 Years' War in the 17th century, a German pastor, Paul Gerhardt, and his family were forced to flee from their home. One night as they stayed in a village inn, hopeless and afraid, his wife broke down and cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Gerhardt reminded her of scripture promises about God's provision and keeping. And then going out to the garden to be alone, he too broke down and wept. He felt he had come to his darkest hour. But soon afterward, Gerhardt felt the burden lifted and sensed anew the Lord's presence. He took his pen and he wrote a hymn that has been a comfort to many people. Give to the winds thy fears, hope, and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day. It is often in our darkest times that God makes his presence known most clearly. He uses our sufferings and our troubles to show us that he is our only source of strength. And when we see this truth, like Pastor Gerhardt, we receive new hope. So I ask, what trial are you facing today? What struggle are you struggling to overcome? What is your answer to that question? Do you believe? Because when you believe, when you trust in God, that allows you to see things much differently. And if you do not believe, then like the man who Jesus asked him, do you believe? Respond, I believe, Lord, but please help my unbelief. The reality is we all struggle sometimes in our faith. And that's where the body of Christ is here to encourage and to support and to strengthen the faith of each other. But in our times of trial, we must always believe that God is doing a great work in us. And that is where we will find God's grace. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, so many times we question your plan. We question why you're doing things. Lord, so often we get pulled away by our own sin, our own fleshly desires. We go off and we succumb to our flesh. Discipline comes along and we ask why. But Lord, sometimes you allow trials into our lives to test us, to test our faith. Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would be here in this body, that you would strengthen us, and that you would hold us fast to that anchor that we have in Christ. Lord, that we would find your grace to be amazing. That in our greatest trials, in our greatest times of fear and loss, in times of hopelessness, Lord, that your peace that passes all understanding would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that hope for each one here today. Lord, faith in Christ is not a one-time prayer, but it's every day trusting in your plan, trusting in your goodness, trusting in the work that you're doing in our lives, and being obedient to your word. Lord, help us to know that that's just Sunday morning. It's every day of the week. Lord, help us to be sensitive to your Spirit so that we can find your grace and the peace that you so long to bestow upon us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.